just like to start by thanking all of you here. Sincere practice. Sometimes people say it's easy, sometimes people say it's hard. But what I witness is that it's sincere. Whether it's easy or hard, it doesn't really define the quality of the practice. But the sincerity is closer to what I'm observing. So, no great reveal today. Maybe there is a great reveal today. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But anyway, can you see? This morning's talk is based on another painting, a poster, by our dear friend, Kaz Tanahashi. Action, no action. Shall I hold it up? No, it's okay, Mom. Yeah, okay.
Sunset, yes.
Can you just tilt it a little bit?
Okay, maybe Candace can help me. Yeah. Action, no action. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So please take a good look at the image. The triangle that Kaz painted. A triangle is a classic subject of Zen painters, and it's often seen in series beside a circle and a square. Triangle, circle, square, or in some order like that. And just let the image... can you see it okay here?
Not at all.
Okay, then you have to move.
Oh.
Well, you don't expect the world to move for you, do you?
It hasn't so far.
It hasn't yet. Yeah. So in other words, do what you know. It's either that or I have to turn the whole Zendo facing this way.
Oh, could you?
I could. Maybe. But let the image come to you with the words and see what you notice. I think in our ordinary way of thinking, the phrase action, no action could sound like a contradiction. Action, no action. But actually, it's not a contradiction. They don't oppose each other. Action, no action support each other. They actually make each other possible. And the phrase also could sound like a denial of action or a denial of action, of activity. But action, no action does not necessarily deny action or activity. Though there is a lot to be said for no action. Whether we're making art, those of you who are involved in the arts at all, or maybe in any field, know the benefit of no action in the way you go about doing things. And whether we're planning, maybe we're planning a personal action or a political action, I agree with Kaz, who said that no action contains boundless potential for action. And it's very important that we understand the inherent potential for action that no action holds within it. If you just think about Zazen for a moment as no action, you'll see the potential for enormous life that can come out of that posture alone. I had a friend who was, Wendell, who was a carpenter. He came to work at my house about 45 years ago. And he just stood on the road and looked at the house for 2 solid hours. Didn't say anything. He just stood there. He was on the clock. And finally I thought, I wonder if Wendell's all right, because this is costing a lot of money. So I went over to him and I said, "Hi, Wendell." He said, "Oh, hi, Peter." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Saving time." End of Dharma talk. But, you know, Kaz is also a great fan of laziness, and we've done many projects together over the years, usually translation projects, and he usually starts by saying, I have a new way for us to be lazy together. What is it? Oh, let's translate Shobo Genzo. Let's translate Han Chan. Okay, how long do you think it'll take? Oh, maybe 10 years. We'll have a really good time. We can visit each other, and Shirley and we can all have nice dinners, and we can just be lazy, you know, and then we get into the work. But he's such a fan of laziness. One way to think about laziness is just resting in stillness. Just resting in stillness. But causes. It's kind of very understated, wonderful humor. He wrote in one place that industrious people create industry and lazy people create culture. Mm-hmm. Which I think is true. But for us as Zen practitioners, this phrase, action, no action, also expresses a fundamental quality of mind, really fundamental to Zen, where there's no gap between between ourselves and what we do. So there's no gap. We are completely one with what we do because of action, no action. And I want to go into that a bit. It's the true spirit of everything we do at Sesshin. Whether we're washing dishes or walking kinhin or doing zazen or fiddling with these microphones. The mind of action, no action, which we're developing through the way we approach our activities, including zazen especially. The mind of action, no action, actually helps us learn how to do things and to live our lives in our ordinary way. And it's through that, it's because of the mind of action, no action, that we learn just how extraordinary ordinary really is. Because of the quality that action, no action brings, the quality of attention that action, no action brings to our activities when we do it. Dogen, in fact, said, concentration and stillness and concentration and activity. Concentration in activity excels concentration and stillness by 100,000 million times. And you know that. It's so hard to really stay with it when we're doing something. So some people might think that action, no action means doing nothing. But with a kind of, you know, sly Zen twist of language, like I always like to find, it doesn't mean doing nothing. It means nothing doing. That's the that's the real phrase of it. And when I years ago I lived on a creek that could get quite high because of the winter rains, and so in order to protect the house and keep it from flooding, I had to build a stone wall using the stones that were there in the creek. And the stone wall ended up being 10 feet high and 40 feet long. And Shirley knows that house, and Anne knows that house, and Michelle knows that house, and Ruby, who's not here, knows that house. It was, the creek would go from a trickle in August to just below the bridge that led to the house, just at 45 feet across. It was just huge, beautiful, dangerous place. It burnt down in one of the fires. Sadly. But I was young and I was able to do the work because I was young. So, but it took everything that I was, meaning whole body and mind, it took everything that I was to be able to build that wall. And when I think about that, I think, well, actually, I think that when we do something, it should take everything. That that's what our practice helps us to do. Hold nothing back. Save nothing for some, you know, bank account, but give ourselves entirely to what we do. It's what shikan means in shikantaza. Wholehearted, 100%. Nothing held back, nothing saved for a rainy day. And when we give ourselves in that way, with that wholehearted concentration and that wholehearted, in wholehearted activity, this is what is meant in Zen by one-pointed concentration. Because everything comes to that one point, and all of body and mind is given to it. And so, therefore, again, with that lovely play with language that Zen has, we can say that our effort is effortless, because there's nothing left over, and there's no choice of our doing at all. It's just done. And there's no one kind of looking for the gold star, or, you know, you just give yourself completely to it. When I thought about that, I thought, well, it's a little like dying. We don't die a little, we die. We die complete. When we die completely. I've never talked to anybody who was a little dead. Most people I talk to are not dead. And the other people that I talk to who are dead never reply. You know why? Because they died. They're completely dead. So I wrote a poem for Kaz. One of the poems in 100 Butterflies, the little poems based on my practice. Because in observing how he paints and how he does calligraphy and how he works and works for peace, you know, I observe this quality of mine. And the poem goes, "The painter dies with each brush stroke. That's how he came to be so old." So another Zen teacher said to me, "You know, I don't think the poem is right. I think the poem should say, 'The painter lives with each brush stroke. That's how he came to be so old.'" And I said, "Now, living is easy. You have to die completely. Give yourself completely away." And so we disagreed. But I want to say that when we give everything in our activity, it doesn't mean that we have to strain. And that's very, very important. That's where the no action part of this comes in. It doesn't mean that we have to strain. We can give everything without straining, because when we give it in that spirit and with that understanding of what doing is, which is nothing doing, right, then we can say that the Buddha does it, or our own awakened or awakening self does it, with a kind of quiet, calm, clear, and complete immersion in our activity. Just quiet, calm, clear, and complete immersion all the way through. That's what that phrase I use over and over again means, all the way through, in concentration. And that's a good description of the mind in Zazen. Quiet, calm, spacious, clear, completely there, all the way through. I think that when we strain, when we find ourselves straining in our activity, it's because we still want something from it. We're still attached to it in a certain way that is actually keeping us from giving ourselves all the way through. There's still some gaining idea, in other words. But when we allow the Buddha to do it, it gets done. And we do it just to do it. And that's why in Zen we say, just sit. And that's why Dogen said, we don't practice to become realized. It's why in the Mazu story, he says, how could polishing a tile make it a mirror? How can sitting Zazen make you a Buddha? That's all the same thing. And that's what the background is of just doing it. Nothing makes you anything. But what we are can emerge gradually, and especially through Zazen, through that quiet, calm, clear immersion in the concentrated mind. It's not, I think, admittedly, it's not easy to just do things for the sake of itself. Like, it's not easy just to walk for walking. We always think I'm walking to get somewhere. But when you're walking in Kinhin, that's what you're doing. You're only walking. Only walking. You're not going to get very far. It's a small room and there's, 50 people in the room. So you practice doing for the sake of itself. And that's part of the teaching that's found in Kinhin. And also, just because the Buddha is doing it doesn't mean that we don't end up sweating or we don't end up a little mentally tired, because we live in form. And so the fact of doing in the real world has its effect on form. So we don't judge it in any way. We pay attention to the concentration of the mind. And I think that most of you will know that in those times when you have done just to do and given yourself completely with your concentration in the act of doing, you end up feeling refreshed. Isn't that true? Yeah. Haven't you found that? It's why people say to me, I don't have time for Zazen. And I always say, Zazen doesn't take time, it creates time. It's like my friend Wendell. He was saving time, though. So he needed a time bank account. But the reason that we feel refreshed is that all of the weight of that gaining mind, right, all of the weight of our usual self-centered concern is not part of the activity. And so we can actually feel lighter, even after doing a heavy thing like making a stone wall. So we can say action, no action. But another phrase in Zen that could be used with that is non-doing. And non-doing is a good way of saying it. Non-doing doesn't mean nothing gets done. It has to do with the way in which things are done and the quality of the mind of the people doing it. So here's a poem that is also in that 100 Butterflies book that I wrote 25 plus years ago by building that stone wall with the wonderful trabajadero Jesus, a great guy. I love to work with him. Boy, could he drink on Friday night. Let me tell you, he would sing at the top of his lungs. When it is time for a stone to move, don't you move the stone, but wrap your entire self around it. Then the stone moves itself. This is called nothing doing. Nothing doing. So take a look at Kaz's painting. Now that you can see it. notice this is the baseline. Notice that the baseline, there's no gap, right? It touches both sides. And because it touches both sides, there's a feeling of stability at the ground level. Right? Both sides are connected through that baseline. And also, notice the balance. Each side has its own characteristics, which contributes to the whole. They're not the same, but each one has equal value. And it's like in the Sandokai, when we chant, each thing has its own virtue and relates to everything else in function and position. This is a good example of that. Each thing, different as they are, has its own virtue, its own characteristics, its own value, its own weight, and relates to everything else in how it functions and in the position that it finds itself. And then also notice how upright the figure is. Very upright. It's not, because it doesn't lean to the left or the right, this is actually a figure that expresses no preference. If it preferred left or right, it would be a less stable posture. And so this is actually perfect Zazen posture right here. And this is the foundation. When we sit in Zazen, this lower triangle, this is it right here. It's stable, it's connected, each part contributes to the whole. It's upright. There's no preference for this or that. It's just solidly itself. And also, I like how how his painting, the outer triangle, reveals this inner triangle. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. Right? When you look at it first, you see the outer triangle until you look and realize that the outer triangle is not separate from the inner triangle. Once I say it, you'll see it right away. It's not so subtle. So the outside reveals what's inside. And if you think about your own lives and you think about what you see as you go through life and meeting people, often you can see what's really going on inside if you have a discerning mind by looking at what's outside. You know, maybe somebody's screaming at you, you know, in some way that's really uncalled for, or they're being mean or something like that. You can decide to stay with the outside and just say, hey, they're yelling at me. Or you can see what's going on inside. And that must be, maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're suffering. It doesn't mean that you say, sure, go ahead, scream at me. But you have a chance to discern what's actually going on. And that gives you a greater ability to deal with the reality, the whole picture of what's going on. And so, we could say that the outer triangle creates the inner triangle, but also we could say because there isn't an inner triangle, the outer triangle is what it is. It can be seen in both ways. But Taken together, outer and inner triangles, this figure expresses just one thing. You put it all together, and this shows the heart and the mind of the painter in the moment that he composed this painting. Whatever symbolism we make of it, we are looking actually at his heart and mind as expressed through his body in the moment when he went like this. So you can see that it's a very quiet figure. It's not a very noisy figure. So you know something about the painter just by looking at this. But also there's a lot of energy that's expressed here. The dark brush strokes make the triangle look very stable, very solid, like it's holding still. But then there's this white, it's called flying white in East Asian painting, right? These white brush strokes, they come and they show that there's a lot of energy inside of something that may appear to just be stable and holding still. And if you think about your own zazen now, when you're sitting there holding still, there's a lot of energy going on involved in that, that makes that possible. So within light there is darkness, but do not try to understand the darkness. And within darkness there is light, but do not look for the light. Light and darkness are a pair. It's right here. Like the foot before and the foot behind in walking. And because there is light and dark, in other words, because there is the relative and the absolute world, because there is form and boundlessness, we can walk. There can't just be one. There can't just be action. When there's only action, things are out of balance. There can't just be no action. When there's no action, nothing comes into creation. So because there is a free flow of energy, stillness and stability can exist. And because stillness and stability exist, energy can flow freely through that form. It makes it possible. Both are needed, and this is action, no action. So, just to be a little aware of the time, but what else do you see here besides what I've been talking about? Anybody? What do you see?
The color. An arrow pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
Color.
Incomplete brushstrokes.
Color, arrow pointing up. Did you say incomplete?
Yes.
Incomplete brushstrokes.
Many sides.
Many sides. Good, yeah.
Emptiness.
Emptiness.
It's not precisely regular. Mm-hmm. The outline is irregular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the continuum.
Right. It's a human expression, right?
Mm-hmm. I see great strength.
Strength. Mm-hmm. Notice how the mind takes in, according to its own leanings of perception, and makes meaning. Just, this is a nice little exercise. We're making meaning all the time. Like Candace said, color. Now that doesn't sound like meaning is being made, but the word color means something to the person who sees color. And if she looks inside of herself, color will have a certain kind of importance in the perception of it. Even in a neutral kind of word like color or wall or something, we have meaning being made inside of us. So it's something for us to know that we do that all the time with everything, every single form we come in contact with. We do that. When I first saw these paintings and statements of causes in the book, action, no action, and then can we stop violence nonviolently? Even though they seemed like two statements, they actually spoke to me with just one voice, because they came from the same source. So they might seem like separate ideas, but I don't think that they were really separate ideas. I think they were two individual expressions of a unified whole vision. As this painter expressed his life in the world. And it's a vision of all-inclusive oneness that I think Akaz has been expressing through his activities in his whole life with the purpose. He may be a lazy person, but he's got great purpose to help end suffering and bring an end to violence in the world. He's completely committed to that. I once said to him, Kaz, why don't we take a vacation and go away for 10 days? And you know what he said? How will our vacation help me stop war? That's quite a response.
Yeah.
Not like, where do you want to go? Action, no action is also something that Dogen emphasizes when he encourages us to develop a quality of mind that never forgets wholeness, never forgets oneness as we practice. And each of us looking for a way to end or to stop violence in a nonviolent way by letting go of that paradigm I talked about yesterday of all the inherited forms of harm from our families and our culture is also rooted in action, no action. It's rooted deeply in that. And also in this fact of wholeness that Dogen teaches about, or in Zen, one way of expressing it is your true or your original face before your parents were born. That's an image of wholeness that we have. And it's an important phrase, your true or your original face before your parents were born. It's an important phrase because it reminds us that even if we don't feel that it's true, that what we are is not in fact determined by all that inheritance just from our personal lives and our families. That what we are is not limited by that. They do exist, but they're not our existence. And Dogen asks us to study this intimately so we can get to the isness of ourselves. Right? Yesterday, remember I talked about Ram Dass's phrase, be here now, the beingness of ourself. Dogen's instruction is very clear. If you want to move beyond all of that limited view of the self, let it drop in Zazen. His instruction is not more complicated than that. I don't say that it's easily done, but that's the instruction. If you want to touch the self as it truly is, in its wholeness, because it is never eclipsed, it is always there, you can do it, but it will take Shinjin Datsuraku, dropping body and mind, completely in Zazen. When we do, then we are free from those limitations. Or what the Chinese poet, Tang Dynasty poet Hanshan, called useless mixed up thinking. Mm-hmm. It's a great phrase, useless mixed up thinking. And this is the case because when it all drops away, as Suzuki Roshi said, we regain, we get again our natural composure. You know, they're all pointing at exactly the same thing. We have natural composure, we lose natural composure, and when we let it drop away, we regain it. It just emerges naturally. And it's one of the reasons that the more, and this is tricky language, so please follow it, the more we allow our effort during Zazen to be effortless, the greater the opportunity for the no action to allow the action of full being to emerge. So right now, in this moment, we are somewhere. We are in the Zendo. This is where we are. This is action. We live in the world. This is the world of form, so we're here. And if we're completely in this place, like when you're sitting Zazen, if we're completely in this place, in this mind, with no gap between where we are and who we are, then, as Dogen said, where we are, it's neither broad nor narrow. Right? It has no limiting condition, so to speak. So that means form is boundlessness. That's where the Heart Sutra teaching comes in. So we're here in form, And if we are here completely in our zazen, this form is able to, it is already boundless, but it also is able to experience its boundless being at the same time. Action, no action. And when we learn how to do that, we can work with our experience of no action and inaction to help stop violence nonviolently, which is no small concern of myself as well. So, I mentioned Hanshan. Here's the Hanshan poem that that line, useless mixed up thinking, comes from. And for those of you who don't know, Kaz and I have just translated all of the complete poems of Hanshan from the Tang Dynasty, and it's called the Complete Hanshan. I think it's called Complete Cold Mountain. Complete Cold Mountain. And the book will be out with Shambhala in June. So we just, one of Kaz's latest projects was, let's be lazy, I think it'll take us 5 years, but we got so excited we translated it in 2 years. So there's 315 of those of poems. And Hanshan means cold mountain. Han means cold and Shan means mountain. And he was a legendary hermit poet from the Tang Dynasty who at the age of 30 had pretty much had it with the world and said, that's it, I'm leaving. And he went and moved into a cave on Mount Tiantai to live in a cave, to, as he called it, leave the dusty world behind. The dusty world means the world of delusion. Leave it behind and spend what we now call a quality time. uninterrupted quality time with his own mind in the natural world. And he took the name Hanshan. This is very wonderful. He took the name Hanshan, Cold Mountain, as a way of saying that who he is and what he is and where he is are just one thing, that there's no separation. So he is Hanshan. He lives at Hanshan. His mind is Hanshan. His life is Hanshan. Cold Mountain. Once I moved to Cold Mountain, everything was at rest. So now I interrupt the speaker. Listen to the line. Once I moved to Cold Mountain, in other words, once I inhabited what I am, once I allowed my being and my mind and my nature, once I moved into myself completely, everything was at rest. It's a wonderful opening line. Once I moved to Cold Mountain, and in fact, now that I'm thinking about it, in the Heart Sutra, we say Avalokiteshvara while moving deeply in Prajnaparamita. Right? So same thing. Avalokiteshvara while moving in wisdom beyond wisdom. Clearly saw. It's the same thing. Same activity. Once I moved to Cold Mountain, everything was at rest. No more useless mixed up thinking. In idleness, I write my poems on stone walls, accepting whatever happens, like an untied boat. Once I moved to Cold Mountain, everything was at rest. No more useless mixed up thinking. In idleness, this cause, in idleness, I write my poems on stone walls, accepting whatever happens, like an untied boat. I love the poem because it shows a person whose mind has become completely itself and completely at rest. But there was a big surprise. You know, and he can express himself in any way he wants, but there was a big surprise for Hanshan. And he writes about it in some of the poems. He says at the end of one poem, who would think I could leave the dusty world behind just running up Cold Mountain from the south? He discovered that actually he couldn't leave the dusty world behind. He couldn't leave the world of delusion behind because with his bodhisattva spirit, he continued to care about people and he continued to have to deal with his own mind. And there was no such thing as a way. The dusty world was also right there, even though he knew how to inhabit Cold Mountain. This was a big surprise to him. He was very disappointed sometimes. But his love of other people was so spectacular. Here's one of his poems that I love. Rich people meet at a tall building, decorated with shining lamps. When a woman, without even a candle, wants to draw near, they quickly push her away back into the shadows. How does adding someone diminish the light? I wonder. Can't they spare it? That's our world. Isn't that our world? Can't they spare it? How does adding someone diminish the light? Yeah. But it's the first poem, it's the line in the first poem that I want to focus on. There's a very challenging last line. It's very appealing, it's very attractive, but it's very challenging to figure out how do we incorporate what he's saying in the last line of the poem, and I'll remind you what it is, into this dusty world of delusion. And the line is, accepting whatever happens, like an untied boat. So, the phrase, whatever happens, means conditions, right? Whatever comes about. Accepting whatever happens, like an untied boat. So what is he saying, really, when he says that once he moved to Cold Mountain, everything was at rest, no more useless mixed-up thinking, and he could accept whatever happened like an untied boat? What does an untied boat do? Say it.
It goes with the flow.
Yeah. It goes with the flow. And say it again. I can't hear you.
Or it crashes
on the rocks. That's right. And that's the problem. That's exactly right. It goes with the flow, and sometimes it crashes on the rocks. Or sometimes it gets, what's it called?
Capsized
or swamped. That's right. So what is this guy talking about when he says, accepting whatever happens like an untied boat? I mean, accepting, what does accepting mean?
No gaining.
Okay, no gaining. What else?
It's good. Going with it.
Going with it, accepting it.
Not fighting.
Then why are we going to Kinder Morgan?
Yeah, we should just accept it.
Right? You see the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does Kaz spend his whole life trying to stop war? Why doesn't he just accept whatever happens like an untied boat? What is the mind that Hanshan is proposing with this idea of accepting and of acceptance? I mean, it's a very, very challenging line. Whatever happens, that's the condition. The condition is important, but what do we do when life happens the way it happens? Yeah.
So first we have to know. We have to attune. We have to get. Oh, yeah. Okay, here it is. And then? And maybe a choice. Then maybe action, no action, something in between. But if we don't even get, we don't even know.
So first we have to be where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know what's going on, which means clear seeing. Quiet, calm, clear, complete concentration. We have to have our practice and see what's going on. And now, what can accepting mean? It's easy to accept a quiet, calm, clear mind. It's just so great. Why would I ever want to go on a vacation? Why do we even have war? Kaz can go on a vacation with Shirley and me. We'll just have a wonderful time. Unfortunately, the planet's at stake. The Rohingya people are being destroyed. Accepting whatever happens like an untied boat, what can it mean? Yeah, Lena.
Well, perhaps the untied boat, we're assuming that the untied boat is without a driver. And maybe the untied boat is just not held back by what conditions us and tugs at our freedom. Perhaps the untying gives us the freedom to take the action that is needed.
Okay. Good. Marianne.
And I was thinking that accepting, did you put that word peaceful accepting? Because that word accepting connotes that whole kind of peaceful frame. And so with Kinder Morgan, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah. Please.
Accepting is recognizing that we are in a quarrel. That there's boundlessness, but there's a response within that boundlessness, mm-hmm. which allows infinite capacity.
Mm-hmm. So that goes right back to the beginning of what I said, what Kaz says, right? The no action contains boundless potential for action. That's right. And accepting, so now we're starting to find no action and boundlessness and form starting to come together as we look at what it could possibly mean for it. Yeah, Shirley.
I've been thinking of about how thoroughly the triangle that Kaz painted is embedded in the heart of Aikido. He studied and was so formative for him. And, you know, in Aikido, the triangle is basically what you always want to return to, 2 feet on the floor, two knees on the floor. And the basic orientation of Aikido is to accept whatever comes, basically take any energy coming at you, but transform it to something benign and safe.
Yes.
And so that readiness is at the heart of the movement triangle for Aikido, and the intention of how to transform aggression to something benign. And it's not inactive, it's the ready waiting and knowing what to do at the right time.
For those of you who don't know, Kaz lived with and was one of the first students of Morihei Ueshiba, who's the founder of Aikido, when he was a boy in Japan. And he said that O-sensei, as Ueshiba sensei is called, would just, the boys would just rush him, and then they'd be on the ground. And O-sensei would just say, "This is breath. This is breath." Over and over, "This is breath." Kaz had no idea what he was talking about. And then he told us maybe 10 or 15 years ago, he realized that his whole life and all of his painting was, "This is breath." And that he had received the teaching without understanding it at all. It was quite wonderful. So this is very good, because we're finding, through understanding form, boundlessness, action, no action, the necessity for discernment, the necessity for returning to the foundation, so that one is ready with a calm, clear mind to accept, to take in as part of the act of transformation. So that even as the boat may go to the rocks, which of course some of us have actually done that, the mind is clear and goes with this flow, right? Goes with it. So that something, the best thing that possible can happen, does happen. Great discussion. Thank you. Simon. Well, and then I think we have to stop. I'm going to be unaccepted.
I don't need to bear bad news here, but in the great scheme of things, we did it for the rocks. I mean, just, you know, old age, sickness, and death.
Yeah.
So, that's what's going on, and I think that's really kind of, hey, wake up.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I don't want to be the bringer of bad news to you, but I don't find that bad news. That's just the news. Right? That's just what's happening. That's why this practice is the great matter of birth and death. It's why it's so precious. Exactly because of what you said. And as you know, you can fight that fact all you want, but accepting is another way. And it doesn't mean accepting with the foundation of no action helps us know how to go about living, given that we're headed for the rocks, or that, you know. That's right. I think it's such a great gift to, you know, of course, to have O-sensei, our friend Kaz, and to have Hanshan. You know, these guys are talking about the same stuff. And you know, hopefully we can benefit from their teaching and from their art. This was the first of Hanshan's poems. You ask the way to Cold Mountain, but the road does not go through. This is like Thich Nhat Hanh saying, there's no way to peace. Peace is the way. You ask the way to Cold Mountain, but the road does not go through. In summer, the ice is not yet melted. The morning sun remains hidden in the mist. How can you get here like I did? Our minds are not the same. When your mind becomes like mine, you will get here too. And he doesn't mean you will become Cold Mountain. When your mind becomes like mine means when your mind becomes your mind completely, you will be here too. You will get here too. You ask the way to Cold Mountain, but the road does not go through. In summer, the ice is not yet melted. The morning sun remains hidden in mist. How can you get here like I did? Our minds are not the same. When your mind becomes like mine, you will get here too. Thank you, Han Shan. Thank you.